Good morning. It is 8:34. Welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tom Davis, and this Community Connection is brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. Very happy to have our mayor, Dale Copeland, with us today. And how are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. It's a beautiful morning in the city.
It always is, isn't it?
Every morning is a good morning.
Now, we had a little bit of a busy night last night, a busy agenda.
It was. First meetings of each month are tending to be busy because we have so many different housekeeping things to do. But yesterday we had a bond sale, actually two bond sales, of the recent, one of the most recent bond elections, one of them for $2 million, another one for $600,000. And there's always a bit of drama and expectation, I suppose, as you wait to see what rates you're going to get on those.
Kind of holding your breath sometimes.
You really are, because the lower the rate, the less you pay in interest and the more you get to spend on the projects that you're wanting to do. Mm-hmm. We were extremely pleased. Came back on the $600,000 bond at 1.57% and the $2 million bond at 1.65%. I don't know if those are historic lows, but they're extremely low in my lifetime.
Yeah, almost unheard of. Now, the big thing that was stressed yesterday was this is more for funding projects and less to debt service. What kind of projects are we looking at with these kind of dollars?
Well, every bond project, they vary from one to the other. The most recent bond project put quite a bit more than the norm into parks. We had a lot of catch-up to do there, but streets are always going to get perhaps the lion's share. We have over 500 lane miles, and somebody's street always needs to be fixed. So there are always potholes, and sometimes the entire street has to be replaced. Mm-hmm. But this ranges from buying equipment for the fire department, the police department, streets repair. So there's just so many things. Obviously, the Tower Center, Johnstone Park. We did the Kitty Park fence and gateway entry. It's just a long, long list of projects, and this will just allow us to move forward and complete more. One thing that comes up, people say, well, I thought we voted on that a year ago, 2 years ago, three, 5 years ago. And that's often true because projects are prioritized, and we do them as we have the funding. So, for instance, the Hillcrest Drive from about 20th down to the River Bridge was actually approved, I believe, in 2012 or 2014. That is just now coming to the top of the list to be done. But we do get to them, and this is just going to allow us to do more.
Well, you're right about the prioritization. I mean, Mother Nature has a hand in shifting some of that around, too, as well as dollars and cents. So sometimes, you know, you're at nature's mercy on that. Now, when we were talking about some money going to Johnstone Park and also to the Tower Center, I understand that there's a water project or a fountain project or something like that?
Well, technically, yes. It's described as an interactive water feature. I asked last night, what's the difference between that and a splash pad? Apparently, the words they're used to describe it. But in any case, it's an area that is a hard surface, mm-hmm. and it can have the water feature turned on. And it's just the thing you see with little jets that pop up here and there. Kids or even dogs or anyone, adults, I suppose, Tom, you and I could go. In the summertime, it's a place to cool off. It's a place that will lower the temperature a bit. And it's just a great place to have fun. Mm-hmm. When it's turned off, it's just more hard surface to use in the parks for people to move and spread about and enjoy.
Very good. So it has a dual purpose there. Now, our neighbors down the street at the Jane Phillips Medical Center, they're changing their name. And who knew that a name change would involve City Hall? But it does.
Yes. Every time if you redid the radio station, uh-huh. well, all of a sudden there's all of your letterhead, there's all the different marketing signage and things, but particularly for a hospital, I know where the hospital is and you know, but in a moment of crisis, particularly from someone out of town, they wanted to have high visibility and what I consider standardization. When you go from one city to another, you know what a hospital sign might look like. So they're going to redo those signs. The one main sign at the main entrance there on Birch will be taller and much more visible so that when someone comes into town, they have a crisis and they need to get to the hospital quickly, it will be very easy to locate. I think that's a good project going forward. Because it sat on the right-of-way, the city council was involved.
There you go. Right now it is 8:39. We're talking with Mayor Copeland here on Community Connection. Code enforcement, boy, that's a fun topic.
It depends on which side of it you're on, yes, but it's a necessary topic.
Yes.
We all have the things we want to do, but we also have neighbors, and everyone has the right, I think, to expect certain levels of behavior in their neighborhood. So you want to keep your house looking nice. You'd like your neighbors' houses to look in an equal way. Everything on Saturdays, particularly from garage sales. People are excited. They're having a garage sale, a yard sale, whatever kind, and they're putting out signs to get attention for that, back to that marketing thing we just talked about for the hospitals. The sale's over. I'm tired. I have things to do. Sometimes those signs don't get recovered.
They don't.
And in the excitement, maybe family members are helping. They do things that aren't correct. So they might put them on telephone poles. That's not correct. They put them in city right-of-ways. That's not correct. And in fact, I heard Lisa Beeman, our city planning development director, mention the best rough rule of thumb, if you want to know where to put a sign, is go to the curb and take three giant steps away from the curb. And in most cases, that might get you out of the city right-of-way. Not always. In any case, having weekend codes enforcement will allow things that in the past perhaps slipped through the cracks until Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Tom, I've literally seen in my business, we get shipments in on these large wooden pallets.
Yes.
And at some point, there was the decision that it would really work well to take these large wooden pallets and put posters on them and prop them up against the light poles in the intersections on U.S. highways about an event. And it did get attention, there's no question. But it was also a violation of city ordinances for sign displays. So Saturday enforcement will allow them to get out and address some things that have been perhaps missed before.
Well, very good. Now we got some road work that's going to be happening on Bison Road south of US 60. And that closure is going to allow what they call level up and resurface.
Right. The area from Highway 60 south down to Voice of the Martyrs, VOM, really got beat up when they were doing that really big construction project. Beautiful facility. It's a wonderful, positive addition to the city of Bartlesville and a lot of really great folks there, too. But the road itself took a beating, and there was a delay and another delay because there was very little likelihood that we were going to want to fix that road when there was more construction because more trucks come in. So we waited and waited. Now it's just reached the place that we feel like we want to go in, not rebuild the road. If you think about Bison north of Highway 75, Highway 60. Get the correct highway. People, your listeners will be totally confused. But north of Highway 60, we went in with a joint effort with the county, the state, the Department of Transportation, and did a complete rebuild of that all the way up to Tuxedo. I think that's in the future for this area, but in the meantime, to keep it usable, they're going to go in, put in some new drains, level it up, fill the potholes, and resurface, and that'll make it a much nicer road going south off of the highway there until that other happens.
Yeah, I've been on that. That was a little hard on the lumbar,
yes.
to say the least. I'm going to skip ahead and come back to something here in a little bit, but one thing that caught my eye was the Bicycle Safety Action Plan to enhance bikeability. A lot of communities, especially communities where it stays warmer in more parts of the year than others. This is quite a popular thing, and it has been for some time.
Well, it really is, and I have folks talk to me about this, and you think about that. It's great. It's a health benefit. You get out in the outdoors and enjoy this time of year. It's beautiful.
Oh, golly, yeah.
Yeah, and you can get somewhere. You have to be careful, back to this codes enforcement thing we talked about. You can't just put a bicycle anywhere, but a lot easier to park than a car, a truck, or something. So a lot of benefits to it, and it just uses no fuel. And, well, I guess your fuel, your human fuel, but not gasoline or whatever. So there's a lot of benefits, plus people just enjoy doing it. One of the concerns is when you share a roadway with a semi, tractor, trailer, with a pickup, with a car, as some folks who ride motorcycles tell me, it does not really matter who's in the right. If something occurs, you're probably going to lose. Mm. So what we're going to look at is an ongoing plan to first increase communication and education. What is it? Where is it? What are the rules of the road when you come upon someone riding a bicycle? And also to inform the bicyclist. But along with that, we spent quite a lot of time last night looking at a map of the city of Bartlesville, and they have developed in the Transportation Committee different areas to be designated as bikeways so that people riding a bike will know that this particular street, perhaps Tuxedo, I need to go all the way east-west across Bartlesville. Tuxedo is perfect for that. I believe there are two traffic lights as you cross Bartlesville from east to west. But cars and trucks are using that. So that will have designated signs, it will have markers, and we'll continue to expand that program across town as we redo streets, put down new asphalt. And we've spent a lot of time last night talking about that. I think it'll be a good thing going forward and get more folks outdoors.
We're talking to Mayor Copeland here on Community Connection. Now, the leaf and grass pickup, everybody waits for this one.
This is a big deal. We're not quite there. Some years we've scheduled the leaf and grass pickup, and the leaves were still on the trees because they didn't get the memo. And so they pushed that back this year, and that's going to be December 9th through the 13th. It's on the same day as your trash pickup. If you're a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, then you would put out your poly carts, your trash containers, and near them, not on them, not stacked around them in a pyramid, but near them at the curb, you would put your bags of leaves and grass. You can even put bundles of small twigs and limbs that weigh no more than 50 pounds, no more than 4 feet long, that are tied in bundles so that the workers can get those picked up. But you'll be able to put those out. There is no limit. There is no permit. There's no fee. There's no tag, sticker required. And they will pick those up and get rid of them for you. So we're thinking that by the week of December, the first part of December, that the leaves will be off the trees. And some of our neighborhoods have lots of leaves. And that's something that helps everyone get their house and yard cleaned up for the winter season, get those out of the neighborhood, and take care of it.
Very good. Now, I want to get back to this. City council members offered to meet with small groups to discuss ideas about what they call GO, or general obligation.
General obligation.
Bonds. And CIP, but what does CIP stand for?
Capital Improvement Projects. That is funded with a sales tax, and it has to be renewed. That is coming up. I believe it expires in 2021. So we want to get ahead of that and get that approved so that if it's approved, there's no lapse and things stay level and even without any confusion. There have been, when you're involved with city government, if you're on the city council, you're involved with city government.
Oh, yeah.
So you deal with it on a regular basis. And I think sometimes we all assume that everyone knows what we know because we do it all the time. The people we work with do it all the time. And your folks know radio business, and so there's nothing, you know, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone else, it's not the case. And I had folks mention, well, when do we get to visit with someone? Sometimes a city council meeting is a little bit formal and structured to have a give and take discussion. So I had the idea, visited with some folks, and I think most all of our councilmen, if they're available, think that it would be a good idea to just visit in small groups. And honestly, small groups might be in someone's living room, a church meeting room, classroom, wherever it happens to be, not a large formal group of people, and just visit. Our main intent is to listen. We'll answer questions, obviously, but to listen to folks, what are their concerns and interests? I realize that no one, including myself, likes taxes. I also realize I like to drive on nice streets and I like to have my trash picked up. And when I call 911, I like to have a prompt response from the emergency folks who do a great job. So hear from people, and that helps the city council. We have a long list. It totals over $100 million of projects we would like to do. Now, obviously, we can't do those because it's just not feasible, affordable. So we have to decide. And you're not going to make everyone happy. But the goal is to listen to people. Get input. What do people in this part of town, what do people that work at this place or folks that have children or people who are retired, every segment of our community. Then when we have these visits, we'll answer questions. Sometimes people don't understand, why do we do that? How do we do that? When you have these meetings, I think communication opens the way two-way, and everybody understands, people feel a part of the community, and then everyone is better suited. Still may not like all the decisions.
But at least you know what's going on.
Exactly.
And now you arrived at it. You know?
Yeah. So I think that that's something that we're a small, big city, if that's fair to say.
Very accurate.
But we want to hear two-way communication. And so I thought if we could do that, people can call Elaine Baines. She's the executive administrative assistant, I think is her title. I tell people she runs the city of Bartlesville. Don't be confused. It's not the mayor and the city manager.
It's Elaine.
It's Elaine. Elaine knows everything. Okay. Just ask anyone that she helps. But you can call her at 338-4282. 338-4282 is the city manager's office. And just tell her what you'd like to do. And she will visit with you and set up a schedule, whether it's myself or any of the council members, or a couple of us. Can't be more than two because of open meetings, rules and things. But we would be happy to find a date and sit down, listen to input, answer questions, help folks understand. And as we finalize these projects, we're actually right now kind of penciled in a possible April election date. But that requires we have a list of projects, we have budgeted for those projects, and the voters approve them.
Very good. Mayor Copeland, is there anything else you'd like to add?
There's always lots of things. I think the most exciting thing that's happened recently is they just graduated the Citizens Police Academy.
Yes, they did.
And that I have heard nothing but positive things about. And people are asking, when is the next one? So they are right now just beginning to put together another Citizens Police Academy for March of 2020 is the tentative date. There's already people signed up for that. It is limited. You can only fit so many people in that and have an effective course. So if you're interested, talking about knowing how the city works, the police department is very, very important. And how they work is guided by a variety of rules and regulations and practices. And everybody I've talked to that went to that said they came away knowing things that they did not understand before. People will say, why don't the police do this? Why don't the courts do that? And we joke about it that there are these pesky things called laws that we have to abide. We should abide by. Mm-hmm. Chief Rolls has said, I would love to solve this problem simply, but we have to work within the rules. And that's good. We're a nation of laws. So I think this is something you get to know the police people, the department. You learn who is the shift commander and who is the detectives and what do patrolmen, what do they face when they're out there on the streets. It's a great program. They're going to do another one and congratulate everyone who went through this program already and graduated.
This particular class did something unusual. And I understand that a few of the people may have been involved as victims at one time. And they went through the class just to see what was going on. And they were so appreciative of what they learned, they actually cut a check to the police foundation to the tune of about $2,000.
Is that amazing?
That
is great.
That's the first time I've ever heard of such a thing, and that's wonderful.
It is, and it shows the power of community, the power of communication.
Indeed.
You would know about that in the radio business.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, we've got more coming up. Stay tuned to K1.
Let's face it, planning a funeral makes most of us a little uncomfortable.